part of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, says that they conquered him. They conquered the evil one. They conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I want us to get really good at sharing the word of our testimony. Not just, hey, it's Sunday now and Pastor Shad's got the microphone, let him do the talking. Now I want us to be really good at doing the word of our testimony, sharing the word together. So we've had some opportunities where we've just shared some things we're thankful for. Some of you have shared a testimony. I want us to get better at that. And so before we jump into the sermon, I really just want to share testimony. Can I do that? Story about 22 years in the making. So 22 years ago, I've been in youth ministry for about 20 minutes. Yeah, about 20 minutes, and I got the invitation. Hey, Max Lucado and his youth pastor, his name is Dan Niederhofer back then, they're having a lunch over, you know, at the big church, Oak Hills Baptist. I made them Baptist because everyone's Baptist to me. Oak Hills, there used to be Church of Christ, now just Oak Hills Church. So they're having a lunch for youth pastors. I'm invited, so I get to go there. And then it just so happened that Max Lucado had just written one of his many, many books. He's written, I think, 60-something plus books. There's 100 million books in print going around the world that he's, you know, written. So he wrote a new book called He Chose the Nails, about how Christ chose the nails for us. And he gave every one of us an autographed copy of that book that day, 22 years ago. That night, I was in Austin, Texas at Krispy Kreme Donuts before we had Krispy Kreme here. And I remember, you know, if you're eating Krispy Kreme, you should be happy. There should be joy on your face if you're eating the Lord's donuts, the manna from heaven that just it is. And I remember there was a guy who was not any joy. He was just head in his hands, just kind of sunk. You could tell that he was depressed. His shoulders were hunched over, just a lot of tension in this man. And I felt compelled, not just like, I feel like sorry for that guy. I felt compelled to go, I need to go strike up a conversation with him. And I'm not normally that guy. Like, just, I'll leave you alone. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. But God compelled me. Go talk to that guy whose head's in his hands and his shoulders are slunched forward. And so I began a conversation with him. And his expressions did not betray what was going on in his life, for sure. He was going through a rough, rough patch, and he hated everything. And so I'm trying to tell me, I'm a pastor. Like, I hate pastors. I hate church. And he goes on to talk about how much he hates church, and he can't trust them, and pastors can't be trusted. And he goes, but I guess there's that one pastor there in San Antonio that writes all the books. I had my jacket on. I had the book in my jacket. And going, I mean, like, this guy? Max Lucado, and I was like, my prized possession. I had a signed book from Max Lucado, and I knew, right? What am I supposed to do with that book? What would you have done with that book? Exactly, give it to the man who's had his head stuck in his hands. He needed some encouragement, so I gave him the book, and I don't know whatever happened to that man, but I hope it was just a moment of God speaking into life joy, where there was no joy before. And so that's 22 years ago. Fast forward to last week. Last week, I'm on my bike, and I was having a rough day. I'm the guy with my head in my hands now. And that's not asking for compassion from all you guys going, help fix me. You know, I'm just letting you know I have rough days. I think that's one of the beauties of this church is that we can confess. We go through some rough times together. We don't just float in here and act like everything's just fine. So I was having a morning that was not fine a couple weeks ago. I'm riding my bike. And I see Max Lucado walking with his grandkids. And so I just stop and say hi real fast. Go, hey, I'm a pastor too. I'm not going to ask anything of you because I know pastors just always get bombarded. And I can tell he's just with his grandkids. I just wanted to say hi, how much I appreciate, you know, all of you've done and all of your work. And then I pedaled on to some trails. I was on my way to ride my bike to the trails where I was going to run. So now I'm running. And as I'm running these trails, kind of in the middle of nowhere, a couple of SUVs pull up, and guess who gets out of the SUVs? The Max Lucado family with grandkids. They're gonna go on a hike where I thought, wow, God brought Max Lucado to me and twice, you know, in the span of an hour. So this time I run up to him and go, hey, I was just thinking, if I had 3 minutes to share a story with you, and I shared the story of like how he gave me the book 22 years ago, and I gave that book away that night, and he goes, well, we should remedy that. I should, you know, give me your address. And so gave him my address and the new book with, you know, now it's not just autographed. Now it says For Shad with Hope. Max gave me a book. So I was reading the book, and I took this picture of me reading the book, and so I sent the picture to Max, and he texted me back while I was like, I'm reading the book that he wrote, and the author texts me. Like, how cool is that? And we got a picture together. That's his son-in-law, Brett Bishop, that took the picture of us together. And as I continue to run my paths. I like running for so many reasons. One of them, it just kind of breaks through all the stuff. And it's just kind of, you're just raw. And then there's endorphins that kind of help along the way. And I was having this thought of Jesus and Peter is after the resurrection, and Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? He asked it three times. And I think I was flipping it back on God. Do you love me? I was having a pity party kind of day. And I was just feeling so down. And I'm just feel like, God, do you love me? God, do you love me? I'm just being annoying with it. But God, I don't think, sees it as annoying. He sees that you're being persistent. Keep asking the question, do you love me? You know, ask and seek and knock. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me, God? And it's kind of overwhelming, going, of course I loved you. I gave you Max twice in the span of an hour. Do you think that's an accident? And so they will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And then just sharing the power of the testimony when God continues to encourage us. So I hope that we would continue to encourage one another, build one another up. So Max Lucado is one of the guys that's done that in my life on a couple of occasions. Who are the people that have built you up? And who are you currently building up that they would go share a story going, man, you have no idea, I was going through a rough patch. And then John showed up and he cooked a meal for me. Or Paul showed up and he fixed the thing. Or Grace came over and she just knew I needed a hug. And like, who are the people that we're continuing to build up? So I pray that we would have eyes to see those opportunities. So let's ask God for that. Can we pray together? Father, thank you that you build us up. You encourage us by your Holy Spirit power. And not for our own little kingdoms, but for your kingdom. And for your glory. So give us the eyes of faith to see what you are doing and to be a part of that, to bless this world that's long laying in sin and error pining. But we know that you appeared. So I pray that we would go tell that incredible good news. It's in Jesus' powerful, wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for letting me share that. That may or may not apply to the sermon now. You might see some connections. I just wanted to share a really cool story of God continuing to encourage me. Now, in this nativity scene, there's some things wrong with it. Some of you guys are real sticklers for the details, and it bugs you too maybe a little bit. I don't want us to get lost in the details, but let's go back to the history of how did the nativity scene become a popular thing? Why do we have these in our houses? I've even gone in the houses of people who don't really go to church or really show that they have any fruit in their love for Jesus, but man, they got 10 nativity scenes strewn around their house and on their lawn. What's up with the nativity scene? Well, tradition says that St. Francis of Assisi, he created the first nativity scene after he went over to the Holy Land. He saw the birthplace of Jesus around 1223 AD. We start to see these, tradition says, because of St. Francis. The word nativity, it's taken from the Latin word nativus, which means arisen by birth. So there's a little bit of the background of the nativity scene, but let's see the scriptures where we find this birth, this arisen by birth. And I really want to make just a small word equation of what we're going to see in here. That there is what's seen and then spread that will equal amazed. So that's what we're talking about today. Seen, spread, amazed. Let's read from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, say this together with me, let's read this loud. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Good job, angel choir. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. So we get to this nativity scene. You're going, okay, I didn't hear anything about the kings. Right, Steve? Steve helped draw this to my attention again this week. So the kings weren't there. Let's move them over a little bit. Can we do that? I'm not messing with anything sacred. St. Francis started this thing. It's not biblical. But the kings were there in the story, just not this part of the story. So what if we move them over just a little bit out of the scene? I have a pastor friend who has a big, long yard, and in his front yard nativity scene display, he has, you know, the Holy Family front and center, and then, like, 30 feet away, he has the kings. And he moves them a little bit closer each day after Christmas. He moves them a little bit closer, a little bit, that all his neighbors get it now, because he's taking the opportunity to say, hey, here's the story. They weren't there. The kings weren't there on the night Jesus was born, but they got there years later. And so the kings are an important part of the story, these wise men. Were there three of them? Bible doesn't say. It says there was three gifts. That's why we always say there's three. I don't want to get too weird about them. Some of them, people have given them names like Balthazar and something else. Okay, that's not the point. The point was the gifts that they brought and the fact that they saw a star that announced that this is a king of kings. So kings are there. Shepherds, most certainly there. Angel at the nativity scene, not for sure. It just mentions the angels in the field, but they also said, hey, you can tell Jesus because he's going to be, you know, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The swaddling clothes kind of bug me because it's, you know, if you've ever swaddled a baby, I'm going, Mary, you're not so good at the swaddling. Look how loose that is. His arms are flopping all around. Technical points. Don't get distracted. But the angel were in the field, maybe not at the nativity scene itself, but we do have Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus. Animals, like, yeah, we're not, the cattle are lowing, you know, like all the lyrics teach us that there's some animals there, but the Bible doesn't say so. I don't know if the shepherds left their sheep in the field, if they brought them with them into Bethlehem, but the shepherds are there. I think how fascinating the shepherds, I mean, you can imagine what they smell like if you've ever been at a petting zoo. Yeah, get a whiff of that. So they're bringing all of that into Bethlehem. Shepherds, by the way, who many towns wouldn't let them be witnesses in the court of law because they just weren't a trusted group of people. These are kind of the lowest of the lowest in the workforce. And so these shepherds themselves, they're doing the night shift. Why does God go to them? Why does God have such an affinity for shepherds? The Lord is my shepherd. King David was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Like, God's doing something here. He's teaching us something. So the shepherds come that night. This is what they saw. What had been seen. This is what I want to encourage us with. What has been seen. Do you see what I see? Right? There's a seeing. There's a song that we sing. I once was blind. Now I see. So God's done something so powerful that he opened the eyes of the shepherds. They got to see. And what do you do once you've seen something powerful? The worst thing you could do is just keep it to yourself. Now in our Christmas stories, there's like two main villains of Christmas. One is Scrooge. One is the Grinch. You got it. So the Grinch. The Grinch, what does he do? He steals all the stuff. Like those little Who's in Whoville, I'll take away their joy. I'm going to steal their stuff. And that didn't necessarily take away their joy, did it? Because they still had joy and they still sang. And this is just a Dr. Seuss story. But I want to tell us that I think we're worse than the Grinch if we fail to take the joy inside of us from what we've seen and then go spread it, go share it. What if the shepherds just stayed in the field and kept it to themselves? So what has been seen has to be shared. It has to be spread. Remember from a story earlier about Max Lucado kind of thing, going, if God has done something with you, you should share those good stories. If they encourage you, build you up, share them. So the shepherds knew that what we have seen is not just for us. We need to go share this. We need to go see it. And so they saw the baby there and they spread the good news. If we fail to spread the good news, we're stuck. You know why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea? Because the water all flows in, but there's no out. So that water that just stays there is stagnant to the point of there's no real life. What if that is a picture of us? We just take in and we take in, we see and we hear, but we don't go spread. If you do that, you're going to be like a glutton to the point of killing yourself. Faith that is fruitless, it's not a real faith at all. A tree that is fruitless gets pruned. But when we spread, then what happens? So the people were amazed. Luke 2, 17 and 18 again. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed. I have a concern for myself at least, and I think it reflects our general society, that we're just not as amazed. I mean, it's easy, like Christmas is for kids, right? You get amazed when you're a kid. I think it's a little harder. Maybe you get a little more skeptical, more cynical, or maybe just a little bit more tired. It's hard to get amazed. Maybe because we scroll through our little cell phones, like Instagram knows. I want to see videos of people jumping off of high things into bodies of water or doing really cool backflips and trick shots. So I scroll through 20 minutes worth of just amazing footage. You're going, okay, you know, what else is there? Well, the shepherds saw and then spread, and then the people, when they heard this, they were amazed. When was the last time you were so amazed you had to just share something immediately? I hope that would be true of us this Christmas season, that God is doing something powerful that we could go share. Come hear what God has done for me. When we celebrate this incredible season, the birth of Christ, that God would become one of us, Emmanuel. God put flesh on for us to be with us. What is more amazing? So we're going to share the Lord's Supper today. I think how fitting that Bethlehem means house of bread. And so I thought, if I could rearrange the nativity scene, if I could add something, since we took the wise men out of the equation a little bit, because they're not there yet, could I add something to the nativity scene today for us? That on a day when we share the Lord's Supper together, it would help make sense. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And when he shared this meal with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. In the same way, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus saying, this is me. So if we're going to put anything front and center in a little picture box that tells a story, we can't just tell the story of a baby boy. We got to continue the story of why he came. He came to be the bread of life for us. Let's pray and let's sing and let's prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, thank you that we have seen. Help us to spread the good news. Let the good news bring an incredible joy that the world would know, and those who know would be amazed. A baby born of a virgin. The birth announced, given out to working folk in the fields. A baby that was no ordinary baby. A baby that would grow up and say, I'm the bread of life. A baby that would give life to us. So, Father, for the shepherds on an ordinary night, an ordinary men, we thank you that you stepped in and you did something like extra. You made it extraordinary. So we had incredible good news to share. Show us in our hearts where we are so distracted by the ordinary, you're bored with the ordinary. Will you step into our lives and show us again and again that you love us, you love us, you love us. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.